been a great morning so far. You know, what we're doing in here is cosmic. It's massive. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Now, well, you didn't hear it. I didn't hear it. But when we were taking the Lord's Supper, somewhere a dragon was groaning. Oh, again, they're proclaiming the Lord's death. Satan has been trampled. And at some point this past week, a new sister in Christ was born. And we rejoice with the Yonts and with Amelia. And again, a dragon lows. Again, really, somebody has escaped this world. What we're doing here means everything. So I'm so thankful to be a part of that this morning. Have you ever had this thought? If only we could get this coach for my sports team this year, we're going to go all the way to the top, all the way to the championship. If we can get this, we can sign this coach. Or maybe, you know, if only we had the right president, somebody that was really, you know, suave, then we could have a thing turn around here in the United States. If only. If only I got that promotion, then life would be great. What I call that, just something I thought about, was savior syndrome. It was just the idea that you gotta have something that's going to change everything. It's gonna be great. And if we're not careful, there could be a thought in our mind at some point in our lives of this. That if only we got this preacher, this new preacher, then fill in the blank. You know, I feel in preaching for a time in a very rural area in Kentucky, loved the people there. But they were what the young people call thirsty. They were very desperate for a preacher. Me and two other friends of mine would go out and preach, filling in. And, I mean, we didn't know anything. We didn't know our left hand from our right hand. But every time we went out there, every time, there'd be a story. Somebody would come to one of us with puppy dog eyes and say, please, will you consider being our preacher? It's like they did not need us to be their preacher at that time in our lives. We were in college. We were very mature. Sure enough, that group, the first person that would say yes, they took them up on it. And they had a lot of issues because of that. So this can be a dangerous syndrome that we have. Sure enough, that guy, he didn't fix many of their problems. And so today, I want us to take a look at what the Bible says the work of an evangelist is. This is really pointed or relevant for us here at Olson for two reasons. The first one is you've just invited a new evangelist to come work alongside Kyle. And that's something that you've committed to us and something we've committed to you. And then secondly, you could watch what I say and what I do, and I want you to. I'm not trying to hide anything there. But today, I'd like for you to learn more directly what I'm thinking about. What do I see the work of an evangelist based on the scripture to understand that role? So what is an evangelist and why do we have them? I want you to open your scriptures, Ephesians 4 and verse 7. Ephesians 4 and verse 7 with me this morning. It says, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. Now, this he ascended, what does it mean but that he also first descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens that he might fill all things. That's Christ, right? Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So when Christ ascended to the Father's throne, he gave gifts to the church. He gave gifts in people and people's roles that they would play in the church. For instance, you have apostles there in verse 11 and prophets. Now, those two roles are no longer on earth, but here we are today benefiting from their work that he blessed the church forever with, the word of God. And then the next role at verse 11 is that he gave some evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Pastors, this is the New Testament word for elders or overseers. They're used synonymously of a local church. Okay, we have three of those men serving here at Olson Park. And then there is this word teacher. Now, the Bible's a little vague on that as far as what it's talking about in different places, so you have to look at the context. James 3, well, let me back up, actually. Hebrews 5 tells us all that we need to be teachers. But then James 3 comes along and says, not many of you need to be teachers. This is the role of a teacher. This is an office that someone would hold, that they would be a teacher. Remember in Acts 13 with Antioch, it says that there were prophets and teachers there. And it named several men that were doing that work. Paul in 2 Timothy 1 would say that he was an apostle, a preacher, and a teacher all in one. Okay, so teacher is very closely related there to preacher. Paul uses those interchangeably. And an evangelist is related to those things, that Timothy was an evangelist, but he would preach the word. He would teach those good doctrines to the people. So evangelist, let's talk about that. Evangelist. Is that a word that we use all the time? That's a pretty religious-y sounding word. So let me break that down a little bit. Evangelist comes from evangel, which is good news. Okay, so an evangelist would be a good newser. That's who they are. They talk about the good news with people. Philip and Timothy are both called evangelists in the scripture. So that's the simple definition. Somebody who gives the good news, they're a gospeler or a good newser. And so let me just make a personal note about that. If you introduce me, or if you would introduce Kyle as an evangelist here, that's biblical. But I'll just say most people have no idea what you're talking about when you say evangelist. But you could tell them, and it might be a good teaching opportunity to share with them. Minister is a word that is used sometimes, and that is just a simple word. We're all ministers, servants. And that's true, that I would be a servant of Olson. But it's kind of been abused some by denominations, but that's fine. Paul and Timothy call themselves bond servants or slaves of Christ. I don't know if you should call me a slave of Olson Park. That's a little weird. So probably shouldn't use that one. But evangelist is a good term. Preacher is an accurate term, somebody who's proclaiming the good news. And I'll tell you, one of the ways that terms that I use is Bible teacher. Bible teacher. It's a good term because it's very descriptive. What do you do? I teach the Bible. That's it. Think about how this conversation would go. I'd like for you to meet my friend, Austin. He's an evangelist, or he's a preacher. Okay, do I need to dress up? You know, is he a man of the cloth? Is he dressed, you know, do I need to be a certain way with him? Versus, he's a Bible teacher at our church. There's a difference there in how maybe people would interpret that. Or maybe, you know, the best term that you could, if you wanted to say something about me, would be friend. That's fine too. I could just be introduced as friend. I don't need a special introduction. I don't need a special title. When we sought out counsel about leaving the secular work that we were doing and pursuing this full time and talking with older, wise mentors, one of the mentors told us that be a Christian that preaches. Don't be a preacher that's a Christian. And that's all I'm trying to be, is a Christian that has opportunities to preach and teach. That's it. So, yeah, I'm okay with just being your friend. I don't need a special title on that if you end up saying something about me. Well, the what, we talked about that. The what, an evangelist, they're a good newser. But what about the why? The why and the who. Look at verse 12. Four and verse 12. For the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. What am I doing as an evangelist? What did God give the evangelist for in the church? To equip. And we understand that about sports equipment. Can you play hockey without a hockey stick? You kind of need one if you're going to be one that scores. Okay, I know there's some exceptions there if you're a goalie. But yes, you need equipment. So what do I have, Austin, to equip you? Not a thing. There's nothing special about me that I'm bringing that I've got this new revelation for you. I'm going to steal all of my material from what the text teaches. And I take it very seriously to understand that material in the right context and so that we can make the right applications for us to be equipped. So I'm going to equip as an evangelist. And what am I going to equip with? Look at 2 Timothy 3 with me. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. We're going to walk through that text. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. It's a beautiful text about Paul talking with Timothy about how he's known the scriptures as a child and raised up in learning the scriptures and how they made him wise for salvation. And then Paul makes this general statement that all scriptures, let's look at verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Notice in verse 16, it's profitable for doctrine or for teaching. Okay, so let's break those down. For teaching, what is right. For reproof, that's teaching what is wrong. And then, what's the next one? For correction, that's how to be right. And then the last one, for instruction in righteousness, how to stay right. So that's what the scriptures are supposed to be used for. That's the way that I would have to use them to equip those four different categories. That's what I would need to do if I'm going to be an evangelist, a good newser. And notice in verse 16 that all scripture, all needs to be preached, all of it. From the old to the new, from the prophets to the epistles, from the poetry to the history, everything needs to be preached. There is no fear of investigation of the truth. We should all be able to open the scripture anywhere and be able to talk from it. And I think the other all here, as an evangelist, is what Paul told the Ephesian elders, if you remember. He said that I taught you the whole counsel of God. And so there is a burden on me and on Kyle if we're presenting the word that we present everything and not leave pockets out in the equipment of the saints. Well, who do I need to equip? Go back to 1 Timothy 4. 1 Timothy 4. and verse 16. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. Who do I need to equip? Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. I'm not standing up here to equip you and good luck, and I'm handing these loaves of bread down to the masses. That's not my work. I need to, as it says, take heed to myself and to those who hear. I'm going to be careful that I am learning. It's easy to preach, but it's a lot harder to live. And so if I'm teaching some hard truths from the floor or from up here, I have to apply those truths to myself, or I'm going to become callous and I'm going to become hypocritical. I've got to be mindful of that doctrine. I'll just make a little side personal note. Some of this you'll learn as you get to know us, but my dad has been my grandfather. He's really helped me in my faith and grow myself in my faith. Does that sentence even make sense? Anyways, he's helped me. My grandfather is a World War II veteran. He's 97. And I have never had to wonder anything about what he believed or what he thought of me or what I needed to change. I remember I was dating a girl one time in high school and he said, "You're insecure and you're immature and you are too." It's just like, what? He didn't care. Okay? I didn't take it great then, but I have learned to appreciate truth. And so this is an invitation. Speak truth to me. You will help me. You will help Cammie. If you see something, we don't know everything, and we don't know everything about ourselves. So that's why God gave us the church. If you see something that we need to change or we need to grow in, tell us. You would be harming us if you did not try to help us. We've got thick skin. Trust me. I got that from my grandfather, and I think I've rubbed off a little bit on Cammie, too. I think she's got some thick skin as well. So we are thankful for any kind of feedback, again, so that we could save both ourselves and those who hear you. Titus chapter 2. Look at Titus 2 with me. Let's thumb over a couple pages in your Bible. Who do I need to equip? Titus 2 and verse 1. But as for you, speak the things which are proper for sound doctrine, that the older men be sober, reverent, temperate, sound in faith, in love, and patience. The older women, likewise, that they be reverent in their behavior, not slanderous, not given to much wine, teachers of good things. Now, if you look at verse 4, young women, verse 6, young men, and at the very end in verse 15, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, let no one despise you. Titus is told to speak to all of these groups of people. All of them. In different ways, different times. Timothy is told the same thing in 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2. So we all have different roles. We all have different backgrounds. But the gospel is for all people in all generations. Preachers preach to people. Not to themselves as far as things that they like, but what could be helpful to different people. As an evangelist, this is a careful caveat that I want you to put in your back pocket. As an evangelist, sometimes it may feel like I'm speaking to you in a sermon or in a class, though I'm not directly, I am. Because you may fit some kind of mold of a need that I'm trying to address. I'm not saying that this particular person I'm trying to talk to, but maybe there's a specific need I'm thinking about, and maybe you fell on that need. I didn't know if you did or not. When I'm preparing lessons, I have a responsibility to every need of every person that to equip what is lacking. If we just all talked about the same things every time, then that's not equipping anybody. We need to equip what is lacking in our faith. And you know, sometimes we get upset about something that is said because they have not walked a mile in my shoes. you know, if the preacher leaves the pulpit and they start meddling, or they get up on your front porch, they get up and tend your biscuits, they need to calm down. But I want you to think about that concept. Is that true? That this person, whoever is delivering the message, that they need to walk a mile in my shoes before they can help me? You just disqualify the Son of God from ever teaching about marriage. He never got married. What does he know about marriage? Paul, he taught marriage and marriage principles. Never married. What do you know, Paul? Paul addressed people that came from the Gentile background. Peter did the same thing. Paul addressed slave owners and slaves. He was neither one, but he addressed them. Timothy preached to older people, not in his generation. So if we carry that out to its logical conclusion, nobody could ever preach on anything because no one has specifically walked in everybody's shoes. And so the reality is, if we're being honest, the truth, it doesn't need a demographic. Truth will help anyone who is seeking. So how do I equip you then? Look at 2 Timothy 4. The how. We talked about the why and the who. Let's look at the how. 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. Paul's writing to Timothy as an evangelist. He says, I charge you, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they'll heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry. So how do I equip you? Preach the word. Don't preach your opinions, Austin. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. For the time will come, he talks about. The time when people will not want to hear sound doctrine. I need to preach and teach on things even when it's not wanting to be heard. And that's not going to be a joy. That's not going to be fun. But Paul says in Acts 20 and verse 20 to the Ephesian elders, he says, I did not shrink on anything that was profitable for you. I thought about you and what you needed. And then he says to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering. This idea that I need to use the word appropriately. The word is not a hammer, and all of you all are pegs. Use the word appropriately. If reproving is needed, then I need to do that. If rebuke, if exhorting, if encouragement in some way, if hope, if those things are needed, I need to be able to do that. I can't just ride a hobby horse. And with patience or long suffering, your version might say, with instruction, I'm only here to give tools. I'm only here to equip. I'm not the enforcer. I'm not the police. I'm not going to come knocking on your door and asking you if you did this or this. That's not my role. Just teach. And let the word fall with long suffering, with patience, soberly. Not in a joking matter. You need to see that all that I'm doing, I take very seriously in what I'm doing. And as an evangelist, we need to do that. And in the very last phrase, verse 5, do the work of an evangelist. I skipped one. Enduring afflictions. That doesn't mean you get to take your ball and go home if something doesn't go right. You endure afflictions. Now, do the work of an evangelist. In short, the work of an evangelist, what we've been talking about, what's the work? It's the people. It's the church. It is not the pulpit. Now, I said something very extreme there. I hope you're listening.
Is the pulpit included in the work of an evangelist? Yes, 100%. But the primary objective is not preaching in front of people or teaching in front of people. The primary objective is to equip people. And sometimes, folks, that happens late at night. Sometimes that happens across a kitchen table. It doesn't always wait for a Sunday or a Wednesday. In fact, it's a lot more responsibility that I have than just coming up with a lesson. It's dying to myself so that others may live. So what's the goal? The goal is this. Look at back to Ephesians 4. We're going to end there. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. Ephesians 4 and verse 12. Says there, for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. I am to equip so that every saint. Did you catch that in verse 12? The equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The equipping of the saints, not just a few, but all of them. And verse 16, that each part would do its share. Every saint needs to be equipped. You know, you'll hear this me say this from time to time because I think it's catchy. You might get a question if you're in the community. Hey, what ministries do you all have at the church there? What's the answer? Well, you could be a downer and you could say, well, you know, we have an every member ministry. Ephesians 4, verse 12. Every member ministry. In the text, we are all ministers here. But how can you be motivated to serve if you're lacking in understanding or conviction? And so these evangelists, these teachers, these pastors, they're supposed to be enabling you, empowering people to serve, to grow, to give them what they're lacking. And then what does God do? He's going to give us more elders, more servants. And that's just going to continue and to continue. Verse 13. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, that we are all growing in Christ. As an evangelist, it's my aim to teach, to build this church up till we all come to knowing Christ fully. The passage begins and ends with Christ. Christ gave the gifts so that you could come closer to him. Not tossed by every wind. When we're built up, we're no longer tossed by different doctrines. That's another part of my job, that I would help ground people in the truth of the gospel. All right, this last part is where we're going to end. There is quite a bit of sermon real estate out there about speaking the truth in love, right? What the passage said. What about that first part? Speaking the truth. We could talk all morning about the in love part, and we need to at times. But here, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers are equipping so that the members would be solid and would be able to speak. I'm not doing my job if I'm not helping you feel more confident in speaking the truth. There's also been great sermons and great efforts in different places about we need to all go out there and let's go preach and teach to the lost and let's go convert them. And then everybody leaves and feels bad. It is a grave disservice as an evangelist for me to say, you all get out there and preach, and you all get out there and teach people, and never try to sit down with you and give you some tools. That's just frustrating. And so, it's not just me. I'm not saying I'm the only person that needs to be doing that. But the more mature members should be equipping. And that's the point in 2 Timothy 2:2, where Paul says, if you commit these things to faithful men or people, then they will teach others also. And then the chain will continue. So my goal here, one of the big goals that we have, and in fact that the elders have as they invited us, would be that we would support people individually on their efforts in talking to the lost. So if you don't feel confident in that, if you feel like you're missing something particular, use us. We want to be used. Cami and I are meeting with a couple on Monday nights to teach them how to teach Mark. She's taught several women herself on how to teach other people. It's a vital work in our lives, and we want to be a use to you as well in that. All right, so here's the question for all of us. Are you ready to grow? It's not going to come by hiring another evangelist. I'm sorry. It's not going to come by hiring another one. I'm ready to equip. I'm ready to help and supply whatever is lacking with God's help. But I can't do it on my own. Kyle can't do it on his own. We all have to have this mindset that I'm ready to grow. And I'm ready to get closer and closer to what the Lord wants of us. There is no savior of a local church except Jesus, our Lord. Amen? No savior but Jesus. So what are you contributing to the work here? What are you contributing individually to the work here that we would go out and we would speak the truth in love and that we would build each other up here? It's not just the preacher or a pastor or a teacher. Every part does its share in chapter 4 and verse 16. So will this be a new era of growth for Olson Park? We get to determine that. We get this much to share in it. God will cause the increase. Paul watered, Paul planted, Apollos watered, but God gives the increase. Let's work together with him to touch every soul around us, in this building and outside this building. And maybe you're in a place this morning where you can't work. There's no way you can work because you've got a burden of sin. Don't leave here without seeking somebody. Confess that. Pray. You don't even have to confess it to somebody else. Confess it to God while we sing this song. Pray. Repent of it. And if you feel like it's one of those sins that's beat you up, then get some help. Because God blessed us with this church to serve each other and to build each other up on a sin that's been dominating us. But if you know right now what you need to do to become a Christian, be baptized into Christ, we're ready to serve you in that way as well. Whatever your need is, why don't you come forward as we stand and sing.